Welcome back for another episode of the All Business Podcast. I am PA Chamber President and CEO Luke Bernstein. In a recent op-ed I wrote for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, I said that, quote, Pennsylvania faces a pivotal moment in securing clean, safe, and reliable drinking water and wastewater services. Communities all across Pennsylvania contains pipes that have far outlived their normal service life. And while many local governments have done a fine job managing their hometown systems, many have deferred maintenance to the point that water service is now in jeopardy. Well, I think this brings today's podcast in a new lens because there's been an independent study that we are proud to participate in with Charles River Associates. It's just been released. This outlines the transformative potential of privatization and consolidation of Pennsylvania's water systems. The study shows that experienced, well-resourced, private and consolidated water companies can offer significant, not only economic and consumer, but environmental benefits that can long last and help truly drive great value and benefit Pennsylvania's communities. So we're going to dive deep into that today. With that, the author of this study, Jeff Plewis, who's the principal and researcher at Charles River Associates, is joining us, as well as Justin Ladner, who's the president of PA American Water Company. We're going to dive deep into these findings of the study and talk about what they mean for communities all across Pennsylvania. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the podcast, and let's get this started. We'll start right with Justin. Justin, before we get in, tell us a little bit about PA American Water.
Yeah, thanks, Luke, and thanks for the opportunity to be on this podcast. We're very appreciative of the partnership with the Chamber as investor and President Roundtable members. You know, PA American Water, we're the oldest private water provider in the Commonwealth. You know, over 100 years, we are privileged to provide clean, safe, and reliable water and wastewater services to nearly 2.3, 2.4 million residents across the state. And to do that, we have over 1,200 team members that I'm responsible for to make sure we deliver that clean, reliable service on a regular basis. And the water industry is facing many challenges, as you discussed in kind of the opening. And I'm excited to see the opportunity for Pennsylvania American Water to play a key role in making sure that Pennsylvania has clean, safe water for every resident of the state.
Thanks so much, Justin. As we dive into the study, really excited to be joined here with Jeff. Jeff, you and your team authored this study, shows tremendous benefits for private and consolidated water companies for Pennsylvania communities. So let's just start right there. Can you tell us a little bit about the economic benefits that were outlined in the study regarding water utility privatization and consolidation in Pennsylvania?
Sure, and thank you, Luke, and really happy to be here talking about the study. So before I dive into just reporting on the benefits and start spewing out numbers, which I tend to do, I want to just take a step back and talk about why we did this, not why we did the study, but why we would expect to see benefits of privatization and consolidation in Pennsylvania. And the study actually includes a section on economic theory, if those are interested to read on it, and the background on how it has occurred so far in the state or in the Commonwealth and how it could do so in the future. And it's really based on the idea that there are things that the private companies and consolidated systems can bring and increase benefits. Those include greater economies of scale, enhanced expertise, better access to capital, and willingness to invest in the systems, which is vastly needed, as you mentioned already. And then oversight by a dedicated regulator, the Pennsylvania Public Utilities Commission. And so for these reasons, we expect to see benefits, and we did across four different categories. We looked at consumer benefits, we looked at environmental benefits, safety benefits, and economic benefits. And for each of these categories, we looked for the data and tried to figure out what are the benefits and looked at comparisons to other ownership types in the state. I'll start with one major example, consumer benefits and drinking water. So the data on water quality violations suggests that private consolidated systems deliver higher quality water than systems with other ownership types. The difference is quite significant. Municipal systems have over 10 times the water quality violations of private systems or private consolidated systems, and the private unconsolidated systems, which there are many across the Commonwealth, have over 100 times the violation rate. So these are very significant differences in water quality violations. And these findings hold across different system sizes, and we expect them to continue as these systems confront the challenges of things like PFAS and lead. And so, you know, these are just the findings and consumer benefits, and there are others I can talk about.
So clearly, Jeff, as you outlined, there are significant tangible benefits for Pennsylvania communities. Justin, I don't know if you want to provide any examples or things that PA America and other private consolidated water companies are doing on top of some of the benefits that Jeff just outlined.
Yeah, Luke, it's really important for Pennsylvania American Water. When we provide service to a community, we become citizens within that community. And that entails trying to find local contractors, also charitable contributions within the community. We have an American Water Charitable Foundation, things like environmental stewardship. But the contracting piece is really important in that economic impact you talked about. It's roughly 15 jobs created every $1 million that we invest. And you know, Pennsylvania American invest over $630 million in the Commonwealth in 2023, over $2 billion over the last 5 years. And that's helped a lot of contractors within Pennsylvania really grow their business. And you know, that includes focuses on supplier diversity. You know, we've, just to mention a couple of them, EK Services in Cumberland County and Hydrotech Environmental in Montgomery County, two of our diverse suppliers, because of their work with us, they've been able to grow their business. You know, Cantrell Water Specialists out of Luzerne County, they recently shared they added 11 more individuals to their team permanently because of this infrastructure work that we're doing. And something I didn't mention in the overview, our service territory, we're a little bit different than electric and gas utilities. We're fragmented. We're not contiguous, meaning we operate in the Northeast and the Poconos, Northwest and Kane, but then the suburbs of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. What that does is it allows these local contractors to grow their business in other areas of the state through their partnership with us. And that's really important to us.
That's a great point. I mean, really, with your footprint, it allows a company maybe in northeastern Pennsylvania to expand and grow in southwestern Pennsylvania. And that's not always the case. And, you know, we started talking a little bit about the economic and employment contributions. So we just went through some of those areas. Jeff, did you see any of these contributions highlighted through the study where private water companies serving customers in Pennsylvania, where there was expanded economic or employment opportunities specifically, as Justin kind of outlined an example or two? Did you see anything through the study?
Yeah, and we looked at it more on an aggregate level across all the different private and consolidated systems in the Commonwealth. So we wouldn't find specific case studies, which I think Justin has a bunch of in you know, other private firms would also bring forward. What we found instead was that, you know, we did a study where we looked at the total jobs contributed by the private and consolidated systems in the Commonwealth. And we looked across the spending that is done both for maintaining and operating the plants, but also for infrastructure investments and capital projects, and how that all flows into benefit across the Commonwealth. And we found over 2,000 direct employees that work directly at these firms. But that's just part of a very small part of the story, because when you look at the multiplier effects, you get to over 13,000 jobs directly or indirectly contributed by the private and consolidated systems. In addition, we found over $1 billion in annual contribution to gross state product. And we found that these companies pay over $70 million in taxes at state and local. And along with supply chain taxes, it leads to over $100 million in taxes paid to the state and local governments, which you can then imagine gets multiplied again through the economy through government spending. So that's what we found on the aggregate level in economic impact.
So I just want to go back to a statistic you just said. $1 billion yes. Invested by these companies into Pennsylvania.
This is it's a close approximation to that. It's the contribution to the gross state product. It's basically, I'm trying not to go into economic terms of value added, but it's basically their contribution through investment that gets basically spent in Commonwealth businesses and households, but really just mostly the portion that stays in the state and adds to the gross state products. Right. It's easy to think of at the national level, but at the state level, it's the same thing. It's the contribution there.
So clearly, this is a significant industry, not only for Pennsylvania, but when you look at every community in Pennsylvania benefiting where these companies are operating, it's significant.
Absolutely.
So one of the things, so we talked about the importance of communities. We talked about the importance to jobs and local economies. And now, as you take a look, let's talk about the importance to the environment. So we talked on all these perspectives, like check driving the local economies forward, check significant jobs in Pennsylvania, check driving tax dollars and revenue right back to local communities in the state. But what are the environmental benefits? Because as consumers, small businesses, businesses of every type, we depend upon clean drinking water every single day as an important part of our life. I'm drinking, you know, water right now. Without clean drinking water, we couldn't survive. And so you're seeing, is there, were there significant environmental benefits within this study? And if so, if you could walk through those, that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. And we did find that. And so I think that the, when you think about the environmental benefits of water and wastewater, by the way, I want to bring that in because I think that's where we see a lot of the environmental benefits is on the wastewater side, is that, you know, provision of water, clean drinking water to consumers is one of the key things that society must be able to do, right? To have a well-functioning society and healthy, and also treatment of wastewater and protection that protects environmental degradation and also human health. Of putting, you know, not putting contaminants back into the water system that then gets consumed. And so, you know, that is what we looked at. And we looked for ways to see how private companies were doing, private consolidated companies were doing on that, those fronts. And I'm just going to highlight on the wastewater side. So on the wastewater side, it's fairly complicated. There are many systems and they have different requirements that they must meet. But in the end, they're all trying to not exceed whatever limits are put in place for them for what they can release into the environment, right? And what we found was that the private consolidated systems had much lower rates of exceeding their required levels than any other system type. More than twice the exceedance level rates, and that can go up depending on which systems you include or not include. And then also the private and other systems that I mentioned before, some of the smaller ones, they have 30 to 50 times the exceedance level rate. So this is extremely, you know, big difference in the effluent exceedances and ultimately what is being released into our environment.
So Jeff, you're an expert in this regard. Walk to just someone that is not really steeped in that type of verbiage. Walk through basically what that means.
Yeah, just so... So I do have a tendency to do this, and I apologize, but I will do my best. So you can think of a wastewater system. What its goal is to do is it takes the wastewater from wherever it's being consumed, right? Provides clean drinking water, turns into wastewater, it then, and also other things such as from sewers, comes to the treatment plant, and then it is treated and then released into the environment. Again, I'm simplifying. Each of those facilities has requirements for what they can and can't, you know, cannot release into the environment. They have levels of contaminants they're allowed, and they have to have permits, and that is all well regulated. But what's not perfectly regulated is actually, you know, measurements, but also what actually gets released can be different, and they can exceed their requirements. Right. So if they have higher contaminant levels, then it's an exceedance, we call it, and that's what we compared, and we just saw that there were many more exceedances from other system types than there were from the private and consolidated systems that we were looking at.
So small businesses, consumers, others, I think the bottom line here is significant impacts and significant tangible benefits from private water companies on the environmental side is what the study showed.
Yes.
So that's really important, especially in a time where whether it be stormwater, whether it be waste, what any type of water going back into the system and right here in the Chesapeake Bay region, all of these other areas really, really important on the minds of consumers, businesses. And as you look at this, I don't know, Justin, you know, throwing it to you, I don't know if you have any examples of where PA American came in and really took a look and a step back and how you were able to really work on tangible environmental improvements in certain communities.
Absolutely, Luke. And, you know, Jeff, you did a great job. This this can get very technical, and a lot of people don't have full appreciation for what it takes to provide clean water and wastewater services. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, but it's table stakes in terms of expectations. And Luke, to your question, there's several examples where Pennsylvania American Water, when we're in this pursuit to be a solution provider around the state, I'll give two examples, you know, a water and a wastewater one. So something that, you know, is in the news recently is East Dunkard Water Authority out in Greene County in the western side of the state. It's a smaller community, and there are struggles to keep up with the maintenance and expertise to just deliver clean, safe water reliably. In that case, that community has struggled where residents have been without water for several days and on boil water advisories for weeks. They do not have a licensed operator, so significant challenges. In that case, the Department of Environmental Protection, the environmental regulator, the DEP, they come in and they say, this is not okay. And they issued an enforcement order, and that triggered what we call a receivership, where PA raises their hand, works with the Public Utility Commission, and says, we want to come in and help. We've got the resources, the expertise. We can make sure that this community gets back on track in terms of a rehabilitation plan. And as of right now, we have stepped into operating that system with the recent Commonwealth Court order. So that's a water example where in this day and age, you wouldn't think that a community and businesses wouldn't have reliable water coming out of the tap. And on the wastewater side, you know, Jeff spent some good time here. And this is one where I continue to find challenges of just the public having a lot of awareness around how bad some of these systems are, and then what the cost is to truly rehabilitate them. So in Exeter community, for example, you know, 2018 or so, they had what's called a sewer discharge that was not allowed by their permit, like Jeff was talking about. So what does that mean? What that means in this case, they had a pump failure, and this was prior to PA American owning, where overnight, 4 million gallons of raw sewage overflowed into a tributary to the Schuylkill. And oftentimes these overflows happen in rain events for combined storm sewer, like you were talking about, Luke, and wastewater. That was not the case here. I mean, this was a dry event. So this was highly concentrated sewage that went into the Schuylkill, you know, a resource that we use for water treatment, you know, public source, but also enjoying the outdoors. And that cannot happen. And that's an example, though, where we've had to put over $20 million into that system to make sure it's in compliance to the point of the violations like Jeff's talking about.
That's remarkable. You know, and you think about Pennsylvania, every region, one of the great blessings we have in Pennsylvania is our freshwater sources. And while we have those resources, it's really important that we, as stewards of those resources, take care of them and effectively continue them forward. I believe Pennsylvania has a strong strategic economic advantage because of those resources. But you just talked about that pump failure. If that's not done properly and we can't jump right on there and rely on companies like yours to jump in, we've wasted and squandered those resources and we don't have the ability to do it. I think we all can relate to, if you've traveled to countries or other places that do not have reliable drinking water, how challenging that could be and how economically disadvantageous that is for those areas. Privatization and consolidation, there were just two really good examples of where PA American Water jumped in, helped change the situation for the better. Jeff, in the study, there were several challenges that were listed that and identified that are currently facing the water industry. How can privatization and consolidation help address some of these major challenges that's facing the industry right now?
Sure. This kind of brings it back to what I mentioned in the beginning about why privatization, consolidation can bring benefits in the first place, which are things like economies of scale, bringing expertise. And I think both, you know, those are two examples of things, especially the expertise side, of confronting new challenges, right? So emerging challenges, I mentioned PFAS, which is an acronym. I won't go into it here because it takes a little while, but that is something that you want to avoid in drinking water. And that is something that is being dealt with very aggressively by the private and consolidated companies that they can address, because it costs a lot to do it, and it requires expertise. And so that's why private and consolidated can help address something like that. Same goes for lead, and that's an investment, infrastructure investment requirement, which I mentioned is a benefit that they can bring. And so just generally dealing with, contaminants, providing clean drinking water as we go forward, all those things, our study showed that they are providing those things now. And so I would expect them to do so going forward as the challenges are increasing. So I'd say that. And then, our study, I would just recommend, it's 60 pages long. I'm doing a somewhat poor job of trying to get it all in into a podcast, but it is all there for others to read, and I think quite accessible, and has a list of other things. Cybersecurity challenges is one I didn't address yet. Reliability, supply chain reliability, those things. Those are all addressed there as well.
So Jeff, if folks are interested in seeing that full 60-page study, where I know you can go to the pachamber.org website, and they could get on there, read all about it. Very comprehensive. There's also an executive summary for folks that can go on there and really try and understand it. Did a really nice job of walking through the tangible benefits. But, all of this, because every utility system is highly regulated, what role do state and federal policies play in this effort to really try and address some of the challenges that the water industry is facing right now?
So this is also covered in the study, but what we provide in the background section is just a description of, first of all, how much has actually happened in Pennsylvania so far, right? So there's some cool maps where you can see which systems have been are private, which ones are municipal, the amount of consumers or customers that are served by each. And it shows, when you look at that it's, people may have a view that there's a lot of that's happened so far in the Commonwealth, but it actually isn't that far, right? It's less than, I think, 10% of drinking water systems and 2% of wastewater systems. And so there has been policy and legislation to help support transactions that would increase that, but it is, there's a long way to go, I would say. And so there are many different, and I'm sure Justin could go through ones that they're looking for, but I'd say that there are many different ways that it can be supported, including fair value of transactions allowed and all those things, but I won't go into detail there. I will just say that we share those things. And then just in regulation, it seems like the more things get regulated, the more the benefits can be seen in the private consolidation, because they are able to achieve the requirements that are being put on them. So
you outlined an area there, though. I think you opened up, opportunity, I think, for Justin to weigh in and talk about maybe some specific policy recommendations that policymakers right now could enact or employ that would further allow Pennsylvania to support some of the solutions to the challenges that we're dealing with. Justin, anything that you see that could really address some of these challenges?
So much here, Luke, and I appreciate the question, and I'll try and be succinct and hit the big hitters. First off, what we are talking about here, every Pennsylvanian receiving clean water, is bipartisan in our mind. This isn't one side of the aisle. This is just, how do we do it? How do we work through this fragmentation, these East Dunkard examples that I went through before?
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, because there's no Republican, Democrat, independent that wakes up and says we shouldn't have clean drinking water. This you're 100% right. This is an area where we really can get some broad-based agreement, whether you're in Erie or Ephrata, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or anywhere in between, Hazleton, Harrisburg, you go right across the state, Republican, Democrat, Independent. This is something that should bring us together, because it impacts every single constituent and resident of the state.
Absolutely. And it's table stakes. I keep using that phrase. And, this isn't, I don't view this as a private investor-owned utility versus municipality. It's just who can provide the water and plan for the future in a safe manner. And in many cases, because there's so much fragmentation, less than 15% of our water systems in PA are, investor-owned private water, there's opportunity, and we got to continue to drive that. And that's where I would say fair market value legislation is, Pennsylvania's a leader in that regard. That really drives consolidation, because it allows these municipalities that I've talked about that are challenged to get a fair value for divesting their assets, to then put that those proceeds to good use to help out their community. And I've got countless examples of that. McKeesport is an example of a community that staved off Act 47 financial distress status. And also EPA consent orders, some of the things that Jeff was talking about. But we've got to continue to do that. And Pennsylvania is a leader there, and we're very active in using that growth enabling legislation. I would also say, you know, these things, this investment costs money. And at the federal level, so jump up there for a minute, private utilities have access to Safe Drinking Water Act funds, which are oftentimes through PennVest. So for the water systems, you know, we can go and try and participate there. But on the Clean Water Act side, the wastewater, we cannot. There's no access and opportunity for private wastewater utilities. And you know, that's something we're trying to change. You know, our customers are taxpayers. We should have access to that. And then also customer assistance programs. Many people are familiar with LIHEAP, which is a traditional grant program for heating energy assistance. Well, through COVID, LIHWAP was created, and that was a temporary measure to provide assistance for water and wastewater customers. That should not be temporary. Okay. Again, what we are talking about here today, it's, you know, water and the cost of it is not cheap, and there should be the same as assistance programs available for those customers. So at a federal level, we would love for that to be reinstituted, but then also at the state level, Pennsylvania Americans very involved to see if Pennsylvania can come up with their own LIHWAP at a state level. And that's something that we would very much support.
They're great examples. One thing that, you know, I always think about when you have any type of privatization or consolidation, I've seen this, is the infrastructure investments right after an acquisition, a merger, consolidation. PA American, other companies, other private companies are just investing so much money in the infrastructure, because many of these water companies, the infrastructure is put in place in the 1950s, 1960s. And when you go in and really put a lot of money and investment into upgrading the infrastructure, it's pretty remarkable what that means for the local areas. And then once you do it, I mean, Justin, it can last for decades. You know, once you make that initial investment of infrastructure.
Absolutely, Luke. And unfortunately, a lot of times these systems are first generation. I mean, there are pipes that are over 100 years old, you know, in the system, and we're working hard to try and replace those and prioritize them. But once you do that and you do it correctly, you set yourself up for success in the long term. But I can't stress enough the challenge with competing priorities of doing this on a proactive basis. And I liken it to going to the dentist. And you know, if you go do your 6-month checkup on a regular basis, you can catch things, and usually, you know, it's low cost and you get ahead of it. But if you neglect that and you kind of keep kicking the can down the road, eventually you're going to bite into something, or something's going to happen where two things, oftentimes it's going to be very painful. You're going to realize it. And so in this case, that might be no water available or sewer overflows that I talked about. And number two, it's going to be costly. And, you know, that's that investment that we put in, and we, you know, really rehabilitate the system afterward. So how can you be proactive and stay on top of it? And that's what Pennsylvania American, I mean, it's what we do. You know, this is the single focus. We're the largest in the country. You know, I take that responsibility of providing this service to over 20% of the Commonwealth very serious. And it's something that you've got to stay ahead of. You know, PFAS, forever chemicals, lead service lines, cybersecurity. It's something that we don't take lightly.
No, clearly. Question for you, Jeff. We talked about a multitude of issues, but when you look at the study, is there anything in the study we didn't cover that you would want to point out, or anything as you kind of take away, if you do this, you know, and look in different industries and the importance of anything that you could say, hey, there's one thing that, you know, if listeners that we didn't cover should know is what?
It's a tough question. I have a lot of things in my mind, but I guess as I approached this and dug in, I think one of the things that stood out to me was just the understanding that that these private companies receive state regulation that is different from and more than you would get from some of the municipal systems. I was not, I guess, aware going in of that difference, and that may be some of the driver for some of the different outcomes. And
the suggestion is the private companies actually have much higher hurdles to go over in terms of a regulatory standpoint than the public companies.
In many respects, yes. I mean, yes. Again, it's a complicated system, but that is true. And so that was something that stood out. And I would just say, again, the study is there that has a lot of smaller topics, but are very important ones that are addressed that I did not get through today, but that are interesting.
Well, again, that is pachamber.org/water study is where you can find that study and go to. Justin, anything that you'd like to add, you know, in terms of the study or PA American, but this has been a really great conversation. I want to give you an opportunity to add anything before we wrap up.
Thanks, Luke. Going back to Jeff's comment about the study, for our listeners, Pennsylvania American Water is regulated in an economic sense by the Public Utility Commission. So all of our costs to do this that we're talking about are absolutely transparent in terms of the cost of service. I mean, it's a regulated opportunity that we have to provide this service. And that's different than public utilities, especially at the local level. And then I would say that the environmental regulation piece through DEP, when I keep talking about how this is all that we do, we take any violation extremely serious. And the regulator understands that. And so when we sign up for these systems, or we have our own, and when I talk about an EPA consent order, we work a plan with the EPA in some cases, like in York, or the state level environmental regulator, the DEP, and we bring that system back up to code, so to speak. And an example in York where there's 10 consent orders, in the first 2 years, we got 5 of them knocked out. And that's not easy to do. That takes a lot of planning. And then the last thing I would leave with is the magnitude of this challenge in terms of investment required. You know, there's a couple of large numbers out there from some very objective sources that I want to share here. One is the American Society of Civil Engineers. They go through and do an infrastructure report card for every state. And then the water and wastewater space for PA, they gave the state a D and D minus, respectively, for water and wastewater. And they said, you know, number one, privatization is a path to try and improve these grades. But they said $18 billion is required to rehab these grades over the next 10 years. $18 billion. And then at a national level, EPA says $744 billion is required over the next 20 years. So this is huge dollars. And when you look at Jeff's study, you can see the investment that these private utilities, none more so than PA American, are making to try and close that gap. And we're proud to do so.
That's a great, great point. Well, I want to recap. Join today Jeff Plewis, who's the principal and a researcher at the Charles River Associates, as well as Justin Ladner, who you just heard from, is the president of PA American Water Company. Gentlemen, I cannot thank you enough for joining us, coming on the podcast. This was a great conversation. I also want to thank you, in particular, Justin. What you guys do at PA American Water and other water companies, you get up every single day, you've dedicated your careers to protecting, preserving, and delivering clean water to all of us. And that is really noble effort. You probably don't hear that a lot, but I want to thank you and your teams for doing that, because it is critically important. As many of us got up today, we showered, we got our clean drinking water, and we didn't think twice about it. But that's because of people like you and your team that have dedicated so much an investment into ensuring that we have those opportunities right here.
Thank you, Luke. And you know, it's the one utility that we ingest, and we would argue it's the most important, and we take that very serious. We appreciate that.
So, Justin, if I want to find out more about PA American Water, what do I do?
Yeah, we've got plenty of opportunities to engage with us through the website. We've also got local offices in some of our larger operating areas. We're here to answer your questions, and there's a lot of opportunity to engage with us, honestly, through the Public Utility Commission. They've got a lot of venues and kind of avenues to reach out to all utilities, but we're happy to hear any kind of comments or inquiries.
Excellent. Well, if you want to check out the full study again, go to pachamber.org/waterstudy. You heard of the socials and the website for PA American. That is all from us today. So on behalf of the Pennsylvania Chamber, the statewide voice of business, and our 10,000 members across the Commonwealth, thank you so much for joining us today. To Justin, to Jeff, thank you so much for listening. Do not forget to subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for listening to the All Business Podcast from the Pennsylvania Chamber. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. With almost 10,000 member organizations, the Pennsylvania Chamber advocates for job creation and greater prosperity across the Commonwealth. Visit our website at pachamber.org to learn more about us, our members, and how to become part of the statewide voice of business. We'll see you next time.